Welcome to 5 at 8. I'm Mark Overman, and I'm here with Linda Carlisle on Saturday, March 30th, 2024. Here's the day's top news. In this episode, we'll talk about scientists possibly discovering a massive volcano on Mars, Chinese clean tech giant Tongwei expanding its production facilities, Russia using its veto power at the UN, Joby Aviation building its fleet in Dayton, Ohio, and the launch of the Copernicus Climate Change Service Atlas, providing crucial data on climate trends. Story number one. In a report from CNN, scientists have possibly discovered a massive volcano on Mars, taller than Mount Everest, hidden in the Noctis Labyrinthus region. The volcano was identified using high-resolution stereo cameras and could have implications for Martian geology and future exploration missions. The discovery was presented at a planetary science conference and has attracted both excitement and skepticism from the scientific community. Whoa, Linda, this news about the potential discovery of a massive volcano on Mars is mind-blowing, isn't it? It's like we're constantly being reminded of how little we really know about our universe.
The discovery is a testament to how technological advancements continue to reshape our understanding of planets like Mars. It's fascinating how this volcano has been hiding in plain sight for decades. And now, owing to the high-resolution stereo cameras of NASA's Mars Express Orbiter, we're able to take a closer look.
Right. And let's not forget the role of data analysis here. I mean, Dr. Pascal Lee and Saurabh Shubham, the geology doctoral student, have been poring over data collected by NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. It's this combination of advanced technology and meticulous data analysis that has led to such a groundbreaking revelation.
It's a reminder of how far we've come since the days of Galileo and his rudimentary telescope. We're now able to probe not just the visible features of a planet, but also its geological history and potential for harboring life.
And speaking of life, Linda, I think it's also worth noting how this discovery could potentially lure future exploratory missions to the area in search of water ice or even signs of life. If successful, this could be a game changer for our plans of space colonization.
Good point, Mark. But as with any major discovery, there are skeptics. Some scientists are questioning the data and the conclusions drawn from it. They're asking why, if the volcano is still active, it hasn't poured lava into the surrounding canyons, among other things. It's a reminder that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
Agreed, Linda. It's crucial to maintain a balance between excitement and skepticism in science. Anyway, it's fascinating how technology continually broadens our horizons and changes our understanding of the universe. I can't wait to see where it takes us next. Story number two. Chinese clean tech giant Tongwei is rapidly expanding and upgrading its production facilities to increase solar cell output. China's dominance in clean technology markets has raised concerns in the US and Europe about unfair competition. State support has helped China's renewable energy industry become the biggest contributor to its economy. Western governments are investigating Chinese trade practices, while China accuses them of trying to hinder its progress. Breaking China's near monopoly on renewable energy supply chain parts will be difficult and costly for rich nations. China is expected to continue fighting to maintain its dominance in the clean energy sector. According to Washington Post, the source of this news. Might be me, but it seems like China's really taking the lead in the clean tech industry, huh? They're dominating the solar panel production and the electric vehicle market. And now with this Tongwei company's plans? It's pretty impressive.
Yes. China has made significant strides in green technology. It's a strategic move by the Chinese government to not only address environmental concerns, but also to gain economic and geopolitical leverage. Remember, this sector is emerging as a major player in the global economy.
Right, I get that. But isn't there a flip side to this? I mean, US and Europe are concerned, right? This could affect their own renewable energy industries.
China's dominance in clean tech poses a challenge to Western countries trying to grow their own renewable energy industries. There are fears that Chinese products, subsidized by their government, could flood the market, undercutting Western manufacturers. This has led to accusations of unfair trade practices and could potentially trigger a trade war.
Well, that sounds like a sticky situation. On one hand, we have the urgency of combating climate change, and on the other, we're dealing with economic and geopolitical tensions. What's the way out, Linda?
It's a complex issue, Mark. Creating viable alternatives to Chinese clean tech products would be costly and time-consuming for Western countries. However, Focusing on advanced research and fostering local industries might be a part of the solution. It's a delicate balancing act between global climate change efforts and national economic interests. The key is to find a middle ground that promotes sustainable growth without compromising the health of our planet.
Story number three. In a report from the New York Times, Russia has used its veto power to end a UN panel monitoring North Korea's sanctions violations. The panel showed how Russia was providing fuel to North Korea in exchange for weapons used in Ukraine. This marks a shift in global efforts to prevent nuclear proliferation. Will you look at that, Linda? Russia's veto in the UN Security Council is a strategic move, if I've ever seen one. Killing off a UN panel that's been keeping tabs on North Korea's nuclear program for 15 years? That's a power play, pure and simple.
This situation is multi-layered. On one level, it's about Russia flexing its muscles, asserting its authority in the global arena. But there's also a deeper, more worrying element at play here. The potential erosion of global efforts to constrain nuclear proliferation.
Absolutely. The panel's disintegration might just be a small cog in the machine, but it's a cog nonetheless. Its absence could have far-reaching implications. And let's not forget the timing of this move, which coincides with the panel's reports of Russia supplying North Korea with fuel and other goods. It raises quite a few eyebrows, doesn't it?
Indeed, it does. The satellite images of ship-to-ship oil transfers have been especially telling. It's this complex interplay of geopolitics and hidden agendas that makes international diplomacy such a delicate dance. The war in Ukraine, North Korea's nuclear program, Russia's strategic interests, they're all intertwined in a way that's both fascinating and alarming.
Couldn't agree more, Linda. And it throws into sharp relief the power dynamics at play here. The U.S. and Russia may have claimed common cause over North Korea's nuclear program in the past, but this incident shows just how quickly alliances can shift when national interests are at stake. It's like a game of chess, with each move having ripple effects across the board.
A very apt analogy, Mark. And underlying this chess game is the fundamental question of nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation. These are global issues that transcend national borders and require concerted international action. The dismantlement of the panel is a setback, but it also serves as a sobering reminder of the challenges that lie ahead.
Story number four. Joby Aviation, known as the Uber of the skies, will build its fleet of aircraft at a $500 million facility in Dayton, Ohio, creating up to 2,000 jobs. The company's electric vertical takeoff and landing, eVTOL aircraft, are expected to revolutionize air travel and the wider mobility industry. Ohio's history in aviation and skilled manufacturing workforce were cited as reasons for choosing Dayton for production. The move is part of a larger effort to boost manufacturing in the U.S. and could spark a major turnaround for the city. According to The Guardian, this development is significant for both the company and the city of Dayton. Will you look at that, Linda? Dayton's getting its groove back with this Joby Aviation deal. The Uber of the skies is not just bringing a much-needed economic boost with a $500 million facility, it's creating jobs and investing in a skilled workforce. It's a real testament to the power of entrepreneurship and innovation in transforming a Rust Belt city into a hub for cutting-edge technology.
I see where you're coming from, Mark, but let's not forget about the potential downsides. With this investment, we're seeing rising rental prices in Dayton, so much so that residents have had to form a tenants' union. And the state government is expected to spend up to $325 million of taxpayers' money to help Joby build its facilities. It's all well and good to talk about the benefits of this investment, but we need to consider who bears the cost.
True, Linda. There is always a cost to progress, but look at the alternative. These are regions that have been declining for years. They need investment and growth. And it's not just about the immediate financial impact. It's about positioning these areas for the future. The eVTOL market is predicted to be worth $1.0 trillion by 2040. Isn't it better to be ahead of the curve?
I'm not disputing the need for investment, Mark, but is this the right kind? Jennifer Clark from Ohio State University mentioned that sustainable economic development should involve investing in institutional infrastructure. In other words, the long game. We're also not certain about the job creation. Initially, Joby announced 2,000 jobs, but now that number is closer to 1,200. So, are we really getting ahead of the curve or just making a risky bet?
Linda, any investment comes with a degree of risk. But isn't it a risk worth taking if it can bring about a turnaround for these declining regions? And let's not forget, apart from the direct jobs created, there is a ripple effect with increased local spending, growth in related industries, and a boost to the local economy.
But Mark, are we really tackling the deeper issues of socioeconomic decline with this approach? Or are we just putting a band-aid on a problem that needs a comprehensive solution? We need to be careful that we're not just creating short-term gains at the expense of long-term stability.
Story number 5. In a report from The Guardian, the newly launched Copernicus Climate Change Service Atlas provides extensive data on past and future climate trends, showing that we are quickly approaching critical temperature limits. The Atlas allows users to see specific information for their region and highlights the urgency of taking action to address climate change. Tell you what, Linda, this Copernicus Climate Change Service Atlas is an absolute game changer. The amount of data on here is just staggering, and it's giving us a real clear picture of what's happening to our climate. And let me tell you, it's not a pretty picture. It's clear as day that we are running out of time.
The depth and specificity of the data really brings the urgency of the situation to the forefront. It's not just global figures anymore. It's about the climate changes happening in our own backyards. However, I do find it disturbing how this kind of information is often sidelined in political debates.
Right on! It's like we're arguing about the color of the drapes while the house is burning down. These arguments about when the UK should hit net zero seem kind of trivial when we're staring down the barrel of a 1, 5C, or 2C increase in global temperatures. We need action, and we need it now. And we need it.
Yes, but at the same time, I think it's important to recognize that these political debates are the means to implementing tangible solutions. It's not trivial to consider the economic and social implications of going net zero. However, the urgency of the situation calls for a much more proactive approach than what we're seeing.
Well, yeah, you're right there, Linda. I didn't mean to downplay the importance of these discussions. But still, it's frustrating to see the lack of urgency from some quarters. If this atlas doesn't wake people up to the imminent threat of climate change, I don't know what will.
It's a wake-up call. But let's also remember that the atlas is a tool. It's up to us, and our leaders, to use this data to make informed, responsible decisions. It's a race against time, but it's one we can't afford to lose.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.